My name is Sasha Ilyevich, and I'm going to be emceeing this panel, Down and Dirty Marketing. First of all, welcome you guys to our panel. Round of applause for you guys showing up on a Sunday. We're going to talk about marketing in the ebooks and publishing in general for you guys and just do some Q&A and all that sort of thing.
Stop touching me.
And there might be a bit of harassment, apparently. Yeah.
Huh? That was one of the other things.
Yeah, exactly. I want to know, first question, before I get to these guys in the introductions, how many writers we have published? Show of hands, please. How many published authors we have? Excellent, excellent. How many aspiring to be published? That does count. Sure, okay, excellent, excellent, excellent. As I said earlier, my name is Sasha Ilyevich. I'm hopped up on caffeine. I've been writing for 15 years. I can't control that.
Would you like some Vivarin?
Huh?
Everybody here knows Vivarin is caffeine pills, right? Okay.
See, I should do this drunk again. Anyway, publishing. I've run the gamut in publishing, everything from contemporary to S&M to paranormal. I've done it, I've written it, I've published it. I also edit for Ardent Books, Sizzler Editions, and a few other, and Secret Cravings under their fantasy line. We'll get to that if there's time later on. That's pretty much me. Go ahead and start with Mary.
Thank you.
I'm MJ Flournoy. I write romantic suspense with MJ Flournoy. I write romantic suspense with hot love scenes. Sasha tells me it's erotica. I've been reading this stuff forever and writing it, and it's hot love scenes is what I call it. But it's what we love to read. I'm also published in short stories by Gilded Dragonfly Books, and those are not hot.
Wow, makes me want to run right out and buy them.
Well, you know, some people don't. They have fairies and all kind of strange stuff in them,
but
they're not erotica.
Fair enough. TC Blue, I write gay romance of the male-male variety for a number of publishers. What else am I supposed to be saying? Okay, that's it. Oh, I'm also a little bit of a smartass, so fair warning. I know, I hide it so well.
It's fun to watch these two go at it, too. Cage Allen, I'm from Detroit. I write GLBT comedies. I have a couple of comedic novels, and I'm in a series of, we call the Buttology.
Your husband's Asian doesn't mean you can't pronounce TH.
Three of us are in it together, which is yes, it was.
Can't hear the
banter.
We want to be amused.
She's making
it's
Asian.
Okay, I said it's pathology. Just because his husband is Asian doesn't mean he can't say TH properly.
And he doesn't like you.
That's fine. I don't like him.
So I can't imagine why.
I didn't like him first. So I'm kidding. I love his husband. He's wonderful.
You're lying.
Now she's trying to make nice.
I had said to them earlier to be more entertaining. The previous panel I was on was very informative, but the writers are. When you get a straight. Yeah.
The writers were dry.
When you get sci-fi,
it's so boring.
Yeah, right. Sci-fi and fantasy writers who are older tend to be a little more informative and not as humorous. And I kind of think entertaining you guys, while educating you guys, is kind of the point. So I said, you know, make them laugh. Be a clown. Karen Kelly, who the hell are you? What do you do?
Evidently, I break the electronic equipment. I'm Kiernan Kelly. I write gay erotic romance. I also write some horror. I've been published for about 10 years through a variety of publishing houses, probably over a dozen. I have 13 novels and over 80 shorter works in print and ebook.
Hey y'all, I'm Ananda Leela, and I write primarily short stories. They're romantic erotica with a little bit of tantra thrown in and some BDSM as well. What's that?
Bring her in.
What's
here.
Her number?
Oh, we'll totally call her in the bathroom. Ring her up. Ring her up. Bring us your phone.
Put her on speaker.
I'm David Alistair Hayden. I write adult fantasy. Not adult like some of that.
Like us.
And yeah, he's the one new to the group.
I'm going to be the serious guy today.
He's the one in
I will
the
be the straight man.
We're the ones on the street.
I also write young adult fantasy. I have a series that's a boy wizard with a cat girl ninja and a diary that turns into a little flying creature. And I also write a middle grade series, the Arthur Paladin Chronicles, which is like Harry Potter meets Doctor Who with a touch of James Bond, maybe. Sure. Yeah.
Is that straight from your query letter?
No, that's my pitch.
Okay, I was just curious.
Now that's my sales pitch.
No, because, okay, those who have submitted query letters, you know that when you look for advice on that sort of thing, when you're first starting out, people will tell you all sorts of strange things. And one of the things that I was told once was, find things that relate in some way to what you have written, and then mention that when you query. So, you know, what you just said about Harry Potter meets Doctor Who with what?
Touch of James Bond.
Thank you. It's like things that don't ordinarily go together. But I'm going, you know, it's like make it something unexpected to pique their interest, and that's what that was. So I didn't mean that in any sort
no,
of
No, that's fine. You know, query pitch becomes your sales pitch. I mean, it's the same thing. You may broaden it. I mean, you may take a different angle going at a reader than you would an agent or an editor or a movie producer, but it's sort of the same thing. You're trying to find that pitch, that thing to connect people to your book, because they have no idea.
Yeah.
And you can go on for 3 pages about your book, and they don't care after the first paragraph.
Exactly. It's a very interesting assortment of things that it's like. So.
Thank you.
I'm going to have to check it out.
We have our late panelist coming as well, so when she gets a second, we'll have her introduce herself. I'm going to go ahead and I guess, so we're doing marketing here. Do you guys, when you start your marketing plans, do you differentiate between marketing and promotions, or do you view them the same, first of all?
I have no plan.
Oh, yeah. It's
up. Okay. Good. Because I wouldn't want to misrepresent myself.
We can't do that.
No, I mean, I think it's, for me, it's all part and parcel of the same thing, you know? Marketing is promotion, as far as I'm concerned, because on my end, anyway, my position in that is not just to write the story, it's to make it clear to, you know, my readers and whoever might stumble across it and have some sort of interest that, you know, this is what it is, this is when it's coming out, this is where you can get it, this is what it's about. And, you know, from my end of things, I think that's exactly the same thing, marketing and promotion.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the difference between the two would be.
One is creating awareness, the other is asking for the book sale.
Ah.
Marketing is awareness creation part, at least how it's been defined for me. And of course, promotions is, hey, we'll have a book, only don't be an ass about it.
Before I ask any more questions, Mary, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
I'm Mary Marvella, and I am an editor for Gilded Dragonfly Books, and I have 3 indie published novels and 2 indie published novellas, and I have this lovely thing, which was edited by that young man over there. You need to know any more than that?
That's pretty much it, I guess, of course.
Okay. if you want to know my opinion on the matter, I was late because someone wanted to buy a book.
Promotions right there, ladies and gentlemen.
The person bought the book because yesterday I made nice. The guy helped me with my phone. Who would have thunk it, right? I couldn't turn the assistive light off. I'm challenged totally. And the young man did it, and his wife came out of the restroom. He went in the restroom. I gave her my cards. He found me and went and said, my wife asked me if I bought your book yet today. I have to buy your book. So I sold it to him.
Awesome. Awesome.
Now, would you call it marketing or promotion? I call it a sale. It's just I didn't have change. He paid me extra.
So I'm always mess with her, and I'm biting my tongue.
Came back, he said that's okay. She said I had to get the book.
Okay, I'm sorry, Sasha. Say again what you said a few minutes ago about what the difference is. Marketing is what?
Marketing is, according to the way I have understood it, is creating brand awareness. So actually, like for you, and in case the whole smartass bit works for you because it's part of what you are. People come to this panel to see you be a smartass. If you were all rosy and Christian-like and dainty, they might be confused.
Like a dainty what?
I don't know. A dainty flower is delicate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right, well, you know, I suppose not. And you have this persona that works for you, I presume, online and offline. It's the same thing.
Okay, so correct me if I'm wrong, but what I'm understanding you as saying is that marketing is more brand-oriented rather than specific item-oriented, whereas promotion would be more associated with a specific book or product.
That's my understanding as of last instruction, so yeah.
Thank you for clearing that up for me. I had no idea.
No, because it is. A lot of authors don't understand that. I mean, we talked about this in the social media panel earlier, and you guys do a fantastic job in a lot of cases, because I follow a lot of you on Twitter and Facebook and such, and obviously outside of the convention scene, and watch you guys do. Kenan and I will go back and forth about this because I don't spend a single dime on my promotions. People pay me to do things, or I don't do them. And Kenan will go garage sale hunting for swag.
Crap.
Just bupkis crap.
I also buy new stuff. I mean, I just jump on garage sale crap.
But, I mean, doesn't that help kind of build your... when you give that stuff out to the audiences, it's not the usual pen and pencil BS. It's creating more awareness, right?
Right, yeah. It's. I definitely feel that when you're indie press published, if you're not with... if you're not Stephen King, I use him as an example, you need to... The responsibility for promoting your book falls a lot on your shoulders, mostly on your shoulders. Your publisher will do so much, and that's all. The rest is up to you. And part of that is promoting who you are. You have to tie a face to the book. You have to let the readers know that you're approachable, and that you're a human being, and that you're personable. The way I do that is I do a lot of conventions. I travel all over. I try and bring in new readers, especially for my genre, because my genre was a niche genre, it still kind of is, but it's breaking out more now. So I'm starting to do more conventions that are both straight romances and gay romances, like Authors at the Dark. It's the last one that I did. It's both. By doing that, by making appearances and by having swag and sponsoring parties, I'm attaching a face to the product so that when people go to look for my books, they remember who I am. And it's almost like, oh my God, my friend has a book out. I need to go buy it.
Anyone else on that with regard to that aspect of marketing?
I can echo that. What you said. Yeah. It's for me, marketing is building relationship. And so, and genuine relationship. You know, I... like to know, I know my market. I know who's interested in what I write. And so I have to think about where they go and what they do. And if they go to conventions, then that's where I want to go because I want to meet them. Because just like what happened today, she sold a book out of relationship. You know, she made relationship yesterday and sold the book today. Oh, I've got to quit doing that. It's marketing for me is making relationships.
You know, there's a saying, if you do something bad, one person tells 10 people, those 10 people tell 10 people, those 10 people tell 10 people. If you do something good, one person tells one person, but that really does what, I'm sorry, you can't hear me. I'm getting this from the back of the room, and I'm assuming that that means nothing dirty, because you can't hear me.
That's you don't know that.
But it's real. It is true, and especially in our business, you need to build a readership. That's how you make, eventually will make money. The bigger the readership, the more books you sell, so forth and so on. So by being available to the readers is a very good way, I think, of building your readership.
I think for me, marketing, I mean, I'm an indie publisher, self-publisher, if you will. So for me, I look at marketing, it's my cover art. It's my cover artist, it's the text design, it's the website, it's, you know, I've got 8 or 9 books, I'm not sure how many, but so for me it's ground up. I'm often coming up with the
Can
pitch.
You not count that high?
No.
She didn't even eat
that was smart ass.
That's okay. No, really, I just...
Because he's prettier than you does not mean he's stupid.
Yeah. I'm married. I don't have to be pretty
That's
anymore.
Okay.
Fair enough.
So much for romance.
But marketing for me really is from the
right
ground
now.
Up.
I'm sorry, but you said it in the beginning. I apologize.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
Pray, continue.
I can handle it. But yeah, marketing's from the ground up, from cover art for me, but eventually you do have to find your readers. For me, a lot of that comes from Wattpad. I don't know how many of you know Wattpad, but that's a place where I find a lot of my readers. I have to go where young adults are. I have the adult series, but most of my stuff's the 4 books in the Stormface series. I've got to find the readers, and they're on Wattpad, so that's where I go. But you have to find that audience. And they may be at a con, they may be on Wattpad, they may be in a forum. I mean, you've got to find that niche, and then expand from there, hopefully.
Right. A huge part of my marketing comes from branding, and I'm known, at least on Facebook and Twitter, like this, as a bit of a smartass and a bit of a prankster. And one of the things that I love doing, if I go to a convention, I'm kind of known as the t-shirt author. I will wear specific t-shirts, and I will go and wear these t-shirts with celebrities for pictures.
And what did last night's shirt say?
Oh, you're going to love this one. Did a two-shot with Carl Urban and Peter Weller yesterday, which they're standing there like this, 2 thumbs up. They have not seen my t-shirt. My t-shirt says, America's Next Top Bottom. And they're standing there like this. That shit for me is comic gold.
Awesome.
I can guarantee you one of these days you'll walk in somewhere where he's doing a signing and that'll be his poster. Endorsed by.
Where have you guys had the most unusual marketing success?
Today. Aside from my kids, obviously. I guess, can you top his story? Can any of you top his story?
I can top that story.
Yes, I believe this.
I went to Gay Lexicon. Has anybody heard of Gay Lexicon? It's a GLBT-focused sci-fi convention. Travels all over the country. And it's closely related with Atlanticon, which is a sci-fi convention here in Atlanta every year that I do. But I went to Gay Lexicon. It was my very first convention of any kind that I went to. No, sorry, I went to Saints and Sinners first, but regardless, my first sci-fi convention. And I had brought, my son has a friend who is gay, who is his best friend from kindergarten, who's also like a son to me, and he had come with us to this convention. So I decided I was gonna body paint him as promotion for my books. So I had just come out with a paranormal book called Seti's Heart, which is about an Egyptian king who comes back to life. And so I body painted him with the six pack and the whole Egyptian headdress thing. Logo was there at this convention, and they filmed me body painting Leo.
Oh, cool.
And then he got him to do the throwbacks to the convention, to the logo, which is where you say, a next on logo, blah, 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 or after this commercial, blah, 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 blah. So he got to do that. So, and, KiernanKelly.com is printed across his chest. So that was my most strangest but most successful marketing campaign.
Oh my God.
Did you know
Yes. I think if you Google it, you could still find it. It's pretty awesome.
So I don't know how many of you are familiar with the fact that social media is changing tremendously these days. It's becoming kind of a pain in the ass to manipulate with the fact that, for example, Facebook has picked up hashtagging. The algorithms on Amazon have continued to shift outside of their normal BS. Google with SEO or search engine optimization has continued to change as well because they just want to screw the game up for all of us, I guess. How are you guys adapting your strategies, if you have any, to deal with all the changes in social media?
I don't. The only social media I use is Wattpad, which is a place to find readers. I'm on Twitter. I don't tweet much. I'm on Facebook. I don't Facebook much. In fact, I've been shutting it off so I can write. I mostly see Twitter and Facebook as a place for my fans to come to me. So it's not a place where I get them. I did Twitter campaigns early on and did testing. I would tweet and I would run them different times a day, find optimized times to tweet or interact and various things like that. And I would log my sales and I would track everything and I never saw any boost from it at all. But Wattpad, I can track my actual boosts from what I do on Wattpad.
You got a question?
Can you explain what Wattpad is? I'm not familiar.
Here you go.
Oh, can you explain what Wattpad is and how it works?
Wattpad started out as a fan fiction site, so anyone can post. You create a profile and you can post your stories on Wattpad. You can read other people's stories. You can form your own library of stories that you like from Wattpad. Most of it is fan fiction. I mean, you'll find everything from Trek/ to One Direction fanfic. I don't really understand that, but there's a lot of it there. But it's a place where a lot of young adults are, you know, they're 14, they're 15, or maybe they're 30, maybe they're 40, but it's mostly a lot of teenagers that are, they're starting out. They're writing their first stories. They're writing a Harry Potter fanfic or whatever, but they're also there reading, and so a lot of authors have started to put sample chapters, or I serialized an entire novel. The first novel in the series is free. Well, it's free everywhere now, but I serialized it there to build up a readership there. Because the audience I need is on Wattpad, and they're very active. And I have, I think, about 3 million reads on Wattpad for my various works. So,
okay, and
but that's the that's the only place that's really worked social media for me.
And if you want to know a lot more detail, we did a whole panel on it last year on Wattpad, and the audio for that is available on the track website, eff.dragoncon.org, which has a lot of detail and a lot of information about Wattpad specifically.
And that was a fantastic panel.
Are you guys addressing your off-site sales and how?
I don't understand the question.
Well, you can sell a book on Amazon, or you can go into the thing like Mary did and sell a print book. Are you guys addressing your print readers? Yeah, I asked that question in a screwed up manner, so my bad.
Okay, my publishers deal with my sales primarily. I really only sell stuff personally at events that I do. And that's not any substantial amount.
Okay, because the statistics that I've recently saw is that about, 85-95% of your sales in publishing are going to come from ebooks.
It's true.
But there is a substantial benefit depending on how you do it. To trying to figure out how to market outside of the traditional venues. Would any of you guys have an opinion against going to do book signings at a bookstore versus, say, something more relevant to your book, for example?
I'll do a signing anywhere.
Yeah, I would do a signing anywhere. Our problem with our genre is that our books are print on demand when you're indie published. They usually don't have 50,000 copies sitting in a warehouse somewhere. You know, so, but because of that, they're not in the system for in-store purchase at like Barnes & Noble or Books A Million. They're in the online system, but that's separate from in-store. I don't know why. I didn't create the rules. It just is. So you can't really, to get a signing in like a Barnes & Noble or Books A Million is extremely difficult to do because it's not available for in-store purchase. You have to bring in your books. They have to agree to buy your books from you. it can be done. I did a couple for Borders that way. I had to bring my books in. They bought them for me. What was left over for after the signing, they put on the shelf. They sold out of them within like a week or so and still wouldn't buy any more because they weren't in the in-store system. So book signings in bookstores are, it happens, but it doesn't happen very often for us.
Oh, we're running out of bookstores, though, too. I used to do a lot of book signings. I would fly over just in gay bookstores. And those were a lot of fun because once you went in for a book signing with a gay bookstore, if you could go in and talk to the owners and you could make them laugh and you were able to bring a couple people in to buy books, I would contact local organizations, any local papers, local GLBT organizations with colleges, universities, anything I could get my hands on, I would do a lot of the work for them and they would do some of their own. If I could bring people in, they remembered that and you got a relationship with them. There's a bookstore in Milwaukee that'll have my books. There's a bookstore in Palm Springs that when the Butt Ninjas and the Butt Pirates book came out, I didn't know they knew about them. He's like, called me up and he says, we're gonna do Pride this weekend. Can you fly in, be in the author's village? We already got the book. That's awesome. And you keep up with that, and it's one-on-one. If you can keep them happy, stay in touch with them, drop them a line every once in a while, hey, there's something coming out. Half the time they know about it, half the time they'll order it.
Yeah, I was thinking of the big box stores, not necessarily the small
I know
stores.
That, oh, sorry, do you want to
push? Speaking of signings.
Here you go.
Oh, you want the box.
Speaking of signings, what I'm wondering about is, okay, you've got your home based here in Atlanta. Somebody wants you to sign books for them in Denver. Great. The plane ticket is going to cost, at this late notice, $832. What are my chances of actually getting that kind of money back for this little bookstore signing?
I wouldn't do it.
Between zero and
even if they paid my airfare, I wouldn't do it because it's also taking your writing time. I mean, you have a certain level of sanity. I mean,
yeah.
You owe it to all your readers to get the next book out, and you can't. I mean, you. Yeah, if you were like, oh, I'm going to sell, you know, 2,000 copies or whatever, that's one thing. But you know, that's an investment of time and money.
Well, if you also know too, if you're going to be going on vacation somewhere, every once in a while, my partner and I will go, or my husband and I will go on vacation. If I know I'm going to be someplace ahead of time, I'll look it up.
Yeah.
If I've got something new coming out, I'll contact them. We were in San Diego a couple years ago, and the bookstore, I contacted the bookstore. He says, yeah, I've got 3 or 4 copies sitting on the shelf. I said, do you mind if I stop by and just sign the copies? He's like, no, that'd be awesome, and that's what we did.
It also matters more on, and this talks back to marketing earlier, how much awareness you've created for the event in question. Because if you've got your fan base, your Facebook page rocking, and your Twitter feed rocking, and everything else you do online rocking solidly, then you might make a ton of money off of it. And I'm not going to say, because I've told authors, whether they're mine or new or whatever, there are no guarantees in publishing. However, if you, because I just got trained recently to do things in a very machine-like, systematic manner that makes sense. Because the question I'll ask to you guys, I think I've already asked it anyway, but is because every author is now competing against, initially it was just us going, okay, you write gay, y'all are competition. By the way, if Stephen King decides to write gay, he's going to bury you guys, sadly. I wish he wouldn't, because...
Depends on whether he writes it well.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. I don't
sure
think it does.
Oh,
anymore.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
It absolutely does.
If you write Stephen King, he has read a good
thing. Yeah, because he quit doing coke 20 years ago when his agent got busted for selling it to him. Yeah.
Whatever.
That's why I'm trying to get you guys to, I guess, talk more about thinking differently outside the box, because now that you guys have competition with every other New York author, what are you doing to mitigate that?
We don't have competition from every other.
But you do,
because
2,000.
They don't write in our genre.
You're still competing for that dollar, though.
Yep.
Irrelevant.
Really?
I think that.
Well, I think if somebody is going out and looking deliberately looking for gay fiction, they're not going to look to Stephen King. Therefore, I'm not fighting with Stephen King for their dollar.
But you're fighting still a price, and the authors who've made it bigger than you.
That's true of anything. I mean,
I think a better question is, how are you competing with all those new authors that are starting up? So they have the same kind of advantage through ebooks now. So those people are competing for the same type of, I don't know. It's always a competing market. You're
it's not competition. It's not competition to me, because it's for me, I have to go on the idea that there's enough for everybody, number one. And that, number two, that if I read Kiernan's books, it's kind of like, you know, yeah, I don't exist in a vacuum. So I don't just suck up to Kiernan and only read Kiernan's books.
You don't? I do, Kiernan, I swear.
Except for last night.
But I read other people in that genre. So I have to look at, you know, I read other authors in that genre. So I have to look at it as someone might read something in this genre, and then they're interested, and they go and they look at other authors. I have to look at it that way. I can't look at it as competition, because if I look at it as competition, then I want to bite all of you, and it's just not nice.
The thing is to have your own voice. If you have your own voice and it's strong enough and it's unique enough, you don't need to worry about competition, because no one is going to write like you. Which is why I think Stephen King, again, using him as an example, has such a large fan base. People like the way he writes. The same is true for just about every other big name author. They have their own unique voice. So if you have that, you don't need to really worry about competing for a dollar, because people are going to buy your books because they want to read your stuff.
Only worry about what you can control. What you can control is writing the best story you can write, market it the best way you can, and do your thing. The competition, you just can't sit there and worry about it. You just have to do your thing the best you can.
Do any of you guys follow your numbers on Amazon or anywhere else?
Yeah. Yes.
Of course, yes.
Why and why not?
I keep like up with the numbers so I'll know where I am and how my book is doing. I don't keep up with anyone else's numbers, but I do want to keep up with mine.
Yes, she does. She watches mine.
And that lets me know if something I'm doing is effective or ineffective. As far as doing independent signings and all, that works if you coordinate your effort so that you're going to be signing somewhere that you would be anyway, so you're not spending extra money. My publisher will ship me books anytime I need them, and then I can sign them and sell them at wherever. In fact, I'm going at the end of September to St. Augustine, to the Ancient City Romance Authors Conference, and we'll be signing there. I would go to that conference anyway, so any books that I sell will just be you know, just that much extra, and the publicity is important. In July, I was in San Antonio for Romance Writers of America, and every chance I got, I handed out my cards and showed my book and took some books with me to sell. So you just have to take advantage of whatever you can to find the market and find the readers. And grow your audience. It's as simple as that. You have to grow your audience.
I track my numbers every day. It's like a sports score, you know. I track them. I want to know how I did today. And then at the end of each month, I log my sales numbers. I have spreadsheets, and I look at all that. If I'm running a promotional campaign, I want to know how well it did. Do I want to invest in this effort again? I'm going to need those numbers. I also look at other authors in my genre and similar genres I want to write in the future. I want to see what their sales ranks are. I want to see what they're doing. And if I see an author in sort of my subgenre, they're doing really well, I'm going to track down their website, their Twitter, whatever. I'm going to look to see, are they doing something, or are they hitting it lucky? Is there some sort of, you know, what's their strategy? You know, we all need strategies. And sometimes you develop your own strategies. Sometimes you adopt other people's strategies. What are they doing that's working? And that's what I'm looking for. So, yeah, I stalk people on Amazon. I'll find authors, and I stalk them. And yeah. I look at their sales ranks, and I want to know.
Yeah, if they are not your competition, but who you would be compared to, then that is somebody that you would be interested in keeping up with. And an example of keeping up with your numbers, Mary and I, have short stories in an anthology that was released and I see another one of our authors here, that was released Thursday morning, I think it was. And yesterday, when I checked the numbers, it was number 63 in Amazon paid. That is big. For an anthology, it was number 63 on Amazon. So that's in the top 100, y'all.
And I pretty much take the opposite end of that whole spectrum. I don't really worry about what anybody else is doing, what anybody else is selling, you know, especially within my own genre. For me, a lot of writing is emotion-driven and whatever the story is that I feel that I have to tell at that particular time. And I'm exactly the kind of person who, if I looked into that stuff too deeply, I would start crippling myself with, oh, well, I should be writing this. Mm-hmm. I should be writing that. And unfortunately for me, and this is all solely for me, your mileage may vary, if I'm not writing what I want to be writing or what I feel I need to be writing, but instead I'm trying to write something that will make me money, it comes across as extremely fake and absolutely awkward. So I don't do that. I stay away from it. I don't look at my sales. You know, my publishers send me my invoices. I get them from the third-party vendors as well. I look at those when they come in, and then I put them away, and I don't look at them again because I just don't want to know. I want to be able to do what I do without trying to tweak things so that I can make a few extra dollars.
I take a lot of flack for my stance in publishing, and I stand by it because I'm not doing this for love. I am doing it for love. I love what I do, as the rest of our authors do up here. I got to eat, folks. So that's my very business-like perspective on it, and that's how I have approached and how I teach a lot of new authors to approach it, because if you come to me and tell me that in, you know, 5 years you want to be the next Richard Castle or Stephen, hopefully better than Dan, but Stephen King, then I think you need to...
You do know Richard Castle is a fictional character.
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
You need to ditch the artistic integrity, BS. No, seriously. You need to find the balance between her side of things on one extreme where she's not looking at her numbers and my side where I'm crunching the crap out of them going, did this promotion work? Because there is a heavy balance in between. Am I going to find it? Probably not. I like money and numbers too much anyway. But that's what I would advise.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm a big fan of money. Money is my friend. Some days it's my frenemy. But, you know, I mean, money is my friend. I like money. I'm happy to have it. If it wants to come and visit, hang out for a while until it's exhausted, great. It can sleep until it refreshes itself and then come and hang out some more. I'm fine with that. But I can't let it be the driving...
Right.
reason for anything that I write.
Yeah.
That's all.
And it's a very good thing to state. How many of you are actually aiming for, well, making a living off publication? you'd think it's an obvious answer because you're all here, but not so much. Some folks just really do this because they really, and I'm, shut it, growing in my opinion of authors who do things a little more for what I consider artistic integrity versus...
Horizontally or vertically?
How do you want it? And why am I playing with you? She's cuter.
I didn't say anything.
What the hell?
I didn't say anything because...
Threw off my rhythm because it was him, not her. What the hell, man?
I do not understand what you thought I was going to say to that. There was nothing for me to say.
But Sasha, can I speak to one thing really quickly?
Yeah.
For me, it's multiple streams of income. I am not going to put all my eggs into one basket and only make money off of publishing. I do a lot of different things. So for me, what I do... this is just one, it's all falls under one umbrella, but this is one piece of what I do. So do I want to make all of my money off of publishing? It would be lovely, but I think I would kill myself. So for me and the way that I work, I have to have different avenues. So just another perspective to throw out there.
Along with the Amazon thing, for some reason, people when they find dirt on other authors, will contact me on Facebook because I blog about it. There was an author, it was last year, and on Amazon you've got like top sales rankings by genre and everything else, and one of it is top new books, and it has something to do with it has, I think it's within the first 60 to 90 days, I think, to make that particular ranking. And we caught an author who had published a book a year prior, kept fudging the release date of the book, so it kept showing up on the hot new release list. And wow. I called them out on it.
Well, that's one of the reasons Amazon's constantly tweaking their algorithms. I mean, as soon as you think you've gamed Amazon, you're going to wake up in 3 days and go, wait, where did my income go? Well, they've changed that. You know?
They were getting away with it still.
Yeah, it eventually fades.
There's a question.
Yeah. Yes,
yes. Ma'am. You've all been talking about signing your books. What if your books are only e-books? That's kind of hard to sign.
We're authors. We can pretend.
You get things like this, and you get postcards. You can buy them really cheap with whatever image you want on them. Take them to your events. Sign them for people. It's that simple.
I'm selling e-books at cons where I sell stuff, and I have download cards, and they buy the card, and they sign can sign the back.
You've also got, what's the author service that does signatures?
Authograph?
Oh, yeah.
Authograph, where it does an electronic signature for you, and they send you a notice of when you have a request from someone who has bought your book. I'm signed up on that, and
yeah.
If somebody...
Authograph,
I believe is the name of it. If you'll give me your email address, I'll check my email and find out what the name really is and send it to you. But I think it's Authograph. Yeah.
Technically, it allows you to sign your e-books.
But it's a way that you can sign your e-book for whoever has bought it.
Thank you.
Next. Okay. One of my addictions is Goodreads reviews, and I've been told never ever to read my own. But now, just an interesting thing here, just in terms of marketing and paying attention to your audience. I was reading my book that is coming out at the end of the month is a YA romance fantasy. So this was a YA romance fantasy, actually. Absolutely nothing like my own, but I was just noticing a lot of the comments, a lot of the reviews that were troubling to me, because a number of reviewers, and they were of the teenage girl persuasion fairly obviously, were talking about how they didn't like the hero. The hero wasn't hot enough because he had long hair. Now, let me go ahead and say right here off the bat that I think long hair is hot.
Oh my God.
Thank you.
But... I didn't say short hair wasn't hot. But the thing is, I was thinking about the book that I was working on right now, not the one that's about to come out, but something else that I want to bring out later, where A, my hero has long hair, and B, he's actually not hot at all because he's been bewitched to look like an old man, although he really isn't. So I'm thinking, okay, what do I do? Do I change my story?
Those
were reviews of someone
else's
book.
Never, ever, ever change your vision to suit some random person on a review site.
Yeah.
And I will never
be able to finish writing anything if you change something every time somebody doesn't like something.
Yeah. This was someone else's book?
Yes, that was
someone else's. I've noticed one thing over the years. I noticed this when I saw the movie Up Close and Personal, which is horrible. I saw it on a dollar movie, and I wanted my dollar back at the end.
It's pretty dreadful.
Yeah. That was the first time I noticed that the theater had ceiling fans. Okay? When a book has problems, people will start finding the ceiling fans. Okay? So don't worry about stuff like that, because chances are the book had other problems, and that made them go, oh, yeah, long hair.
You know what I mean?
Don't worry about those reviews. And most people will tell you to ignore your own reviews. I don't. I read mine anyway. But you really
well, I do too.
I'm going on the record, by the way. I'm going on the record that I am fully in support of hair or not. hair is hot or not. Not hair may be hot. I don't know.
You mentioned Goodreads. Does anybody not know what Goodreads is? Everybody's on Goodreads.
Does anybody wish they didn't know what Goodreads is?
I've actually got a couple of authors who do wish, because for whatever reason they got bullied horribly on Goodreads.
Goodreads is a love-it-hate-it type of thing.
If you're an author, be careful on Goodreads.
Yeah, you need to be careful. Very
it's
careful.
It's not for you. It's really for the readers.
Don't respond. If you get a bad review, don't respond to it. Just ignore it.
Don't go out and ask your friends to
trash that review and all, because, you know, karma's a bitch. It'll come back on.
I had one author who had some issues with a story that I'd sold to her, and I had another, she left a review on Amazon, and for the most part, the review was actually kind, and there were some quirks in it that made me go, oh, what the hell were you thinking? But I'm not going to bother with it, because I don't have to, I wrote the story, it's fine. The problem with this is it another psycho crazy person I am aware of had bought the book, got it signed at one of these conventions, and then came back and like shit talked my other reviewer, and I'm like, dude, no. I had to respond to that, because you don't want to make enemies in this industry, because some of us are very, very, very nasty when we get the opportunity. But more to the point, you really want to put out a professional image, and that's key.
Always be professional. I mean, just
except with this panel.
Yeah.
It's so hard right now.
Tasha, there's a question down here.
Well, let's get,
This is a question for everybody on the panel. Is there such thing as being too down and dirty when it comes to marketing, or is it just a dog-eat-dog world out there?
It's not. Remember this. Everybody knows everybody else in publishing. You may not think it. You may not know it. Publishers all know each other. They all talk. Writers know writers specifically in your genre probably know each other, and they will talk. So if you don't want to do anything that would appear unprofessional, you don't want to do anything that would appear underhanded. For example, going to a rival author and giving all their books a one-star review to bring their ratings down, which has been done.
Don't be a dick. Don't do that.
Or soliciting people to write you reviews in return for free copies of your books.
Another blog post I wrote.
Well, marketing, as long as it's for you, is one thing. If it's against somebody else, that's basically what they're saying. How down and dirty do you really mean?
Yeah.
So if down and dirty, I think what we were talking about, all the good stuff you can do and all the interesting stuff you can do. But if you said down and dirty, I'm wondering, and you said too down and dirty, as long as you don't offend somebody else's book, criticize another author, I don't see a problem.
Yeah, I told the story last year about, and Karen, and I think you remember it as well, TC, where I was on a writer's track panel, and I did not know I was depressed, but I might have been a little intoxicated. And the moderator,
maybe
a little bit.
That much.
Well, it normally is, but depression doesn't need to go with it at the same time when you're trying to be professional about certain things. Well, the moderator had inquired about a certain book we will not speak of, and I know better. These guys will rein me in when it's after these kind of things if I make a mistake, and none of them were there. Oh, Jenna, were you there on that?
No, I was not
okay,
there.
Okay, yeah, it was afterwards. Well, anyway, I had gone off. Because I have a vehemence towards this particular author in question for numerous reasons I won't get into on this panel. And the stupid thing was I was going, and I heard the voice in my head saying, shut up, shut up, shut up. And her in the back, Mary, trying to wave me off, except I'm legally blind, and it was a big, big, big room, so she's doing this. I'm like, you blah, 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 I want to do X, Y, Z with the bat to this author's, you know, just going off. I got in so much trouble the next day with the director of the writer's track because she knows I know better. Luckily, I made it up. Luckily, they don't record that track that they do here. And I've gone on the record since this before because it's a story that emphasizes a need to maintain professionalism.
Yeah.
We're giving each other crap all damn day. It's going to happen. But I got mad respect for TC. Number one, she takes my crap. So, you know, and she gets it right back. But as a professional author, her behavior is very important, and she just knows how to rock her thing. Further questions?
Dirty, dirty, too dirty.
Well, I think that there's, like,
a difference between down and dirty marketing and slimy marketing. And just don't be slimy. You know, do weird stuff and talk to people about what you do, but don't be gross.
As indie publishers, we're probably going to do things that, say, the New York Times bestsellers won't do or don't have to do. For example, body painting somebody at a con and having logo film it.
That's a brilliant thing, though.
Okay. But third thing, that's what we're talking about down and dirty marketing. We're talking about getting down into the trenches with the readers, okay? That's what we mean.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah.
That's okay, but we don't mean being unprofessional. The golden rule really applies here. It does, because like I said before, publishers talk, authors talk. If you get a bad reputation, nobody will touch you. And not in a good way, you know. They won't touch
the
you
bad
anyway.
Touch.
rather than getting down and dirty and trying to compete, we come out better when we work together and try to lift everyone up. And that's one thing that Mary and I have started doing. We have a page on Facebook that's called A Romance Caper. And the third Sunday of each month, we have authors. We start at 4 o'clock, sometimes at 2, depending on how many we have. And every 30 minutes, we have a different author who comes and talks to the readers. They post their cover. They answer questions. They talk about what they're doing now. In between those, we you know, I post my cover. She posts her cover. We talk a little bit. We carry on a conversation. Usually, we have anywhere from 12 to 15 to 30 authors, and we post on Facebook to bring the readers in. And y'all are all welcome the third Sunday of the month. So come and visit.
We'll get you the information when we go ahead and leave here. We got about 3 minutes left. I want to go ahead. Who has the box? Has a question? Go for it. Rocket.
Can I just say what I was going to say
real ahead,
quick?
Chiefy. Yeah.
I promise I won't eat up all your time. For me, I have a lot of friends on Facebook, and a lot of them are authors, and I tend to accept every single friend request I get. It's just what I do because I don't really feel like taking the time to vet everybody. And, you know, if they care enough to ask, I'm like, sure. Don't ever, 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 please, in a professional capacity, become friends with 2,000 people. Never say a single thing to them until you throw up a blurb asking them to buy your goddamn book.
That's slimy.
Because as an author and a reader, it bugs the crap out of me. And it makes me feel like whoever sent that request is a goddamn mercenary sack of shit.
And they get deleted.
That's as bad as the guy who fell in love with my picture and he doesn't even speak English very well.
So don't do that.
Go ahead.
Related to that, how valuable are mailing lists to you? And what do you do with them?
Gold.
Very, very much.
Mailing list is gold. I mean, it's marketing dream, and I don't mean that just as a writer. I mean, visit like sites by like any sort of marketing on the internet. I don't care what they're marketing, from weight loss products to, you know, I don't know, new cars. It doesn't matter. The mailing list is gold.
Mm-hmm. I don't use mailing lists at all. I did, and I found that it didn't affect my sales. What it did was lose me readers because people don't want to get emails from me, email blasts every time I have a new release. I use Facebook for that. I have a Yahoo group that I'll use for that. So if you want to join the Yahoo group and give me your email address, that's fine, but I'm not going to collect them doing contests or whatever and then use them to blast your email boxes.
Yeah, I will do that with regard to the fact that that's what I do, but at the same time, when I set up that particular medium the appropriate way through MailChimp or something like that, it'll have an unsubscribe opt-out, and more to the point, my own website has an opt-in. So anyone who wants to be on my list can be on the list. And anyone who wants off is off by their own doing.
Legally, you have to require, you have to provide that in the U.S., the unsubscribe.
We got one more over here that I see.
Yeah, well, I think she just raised her hand.
Oh, okay.
It's a stretch.
Okay. Yeah.
She's nitty.
We have any more questions? I got time for
one
more.
Question? Okay.
One last question, anyone?
Really?
Okay. Right here.
Okay.
In front.
What?
I am Ben.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, box.
Here's the box of gold.
What do each of you use to get it out there? I mean, what social media or other way do you use? Each of you?
I do Twitter, I do Facebook. I occasionally post an update on my website. Very rarely, because I suck.
Here we got one more.
I won't say what I was thinking.
Go ahead.
Are you sure?
No. Yes, go ahead.
All right. I'd like to know, to what extent, and is it a fine balance that you compare your writing to well-known others? If you're a new, like this gentleman, Mr. Hayden, was talking about his work, comparing it to Harry Potter, Doctor Who, and James Bond, and we all know that, but in finding your own voice, is it hard to really identify yourself with your audience when you're comparing yourself to something that is so well-known? And how do you finally branch out and develop your own identity when you've been comparing yourself to others all along just to get your name out there?
Stop comparing.
There's a difference
I've never
between
compared myself to anyone.
Yeah.
There's a difference between comparing your story, common elements of your story to say someone else's story, just as a marketing technique. You're just trying to find that common ground to help them. I think comparing your own writing to someone else's writing is very different. But you're going to have to learn from the masters. I mean, you learn every time you read a story, you're learning it. You may hate Dan Brown and read one of his books and learn the magic technique to doing X. There's always a chance to learn, and you're always learning from the masters, but you do have to find your own voice. And I think really the only way to do that is to write a lot.
Yes. Okay. I'm getting a signal from the guys. Okay, so I want to, first of all, have you guys give a hearty, loud I've been dealing with these guys for, 6 years now, give or take? I want a special because this is my last year in this capacity, I think, for you guys. I'm not sure, but we'll talk about it later. But Kieran and Kelly is, in part, the reason I'm actually here and the reason I've got 7 or 8 panels. And she does an amazing, amazing job helping me every year with getting these two on me. I forget because I'm...
Because you suck.
I've got... I suck. Fine. But Kieran has been responsible for so much of my being here and my career in this capacity. So please, just for her.
Kieran Kelly is hardcore.
One last one. I want to blow the goddamn roof off. Thank you for coming. Thank yourselves. Right. If you've got questions, we have answers. I'm sure they would like us to do so in the lobby, harass them, friend them, buy their books. They're great shit. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sasha.